Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're going to go here. You know, you spend all this time and you sit there and you go, hey, what do I need for this podcast? To the point where you're 15 minutes late for it, right? And then you go ahead and you get everything ready and you realize your computer is on like 25% battery because you've been working three or four state tournaments throughout the week. And here we are. So this is not the Chris Shad Gripe Sessions. This is the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. So however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today's show does not have a guest. Peel back the curtain a little bit. Crazy week in Brookings. We got the Class A high school girls basketball tournament, which I'm covering. We got the state hockey tournament going on in Brookings right now. The Summit League tournament, both the South Dakota State men's and women's basketball teams are the top seed in the Summit League tournament. And there's also another team over in Rapid City in the Class B, that is the Arlington Cardinals, in that girls basketball tournament. So there's a lot going on. I forgot to book a guest and I was just like, screw it. I'll go a cappella. I'll talk by myself. We'll have a mailbag episode and everything will be fine. So I sent out some feelers over the week. I reached out to all of you. I'm like, hey, give me some questions for the mailbag. And I have a grand total of two questions. So first of all, if you have any questions that want to be answered during this episode, feel free. Give me a comment. I'll try and reach all of them here. Hoping to be live for about 30 to 45 minutes here talking about free agency. And then I'm also going to do this. I have an article over at thevikingage.com today entitled Six Bold Predictions for Minnesota Vikings Free Agency. I don't think I'm going to get to all six, but I'm going to hit the key points. I have the link to the article in the description below if you're on YouTube, and you can just go, you can check it out. You can read and see what I think is going to happen during free agency. I didn't get like all of my predictions in there, so I might just dash a couple of little extra ones in this podcast, just make it a little bit different. But a lot of things going on when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings and free agency. And just as a primer, for some people, free agency will start on Monday. Now, technically, it starts on Wednesday, but the NFL has a tampering period, which is supposed to be when teams can talk to prospective free agents. They can work out a contract, and then on Wednesday, they can announce everything and make it official. It doesn't exactly work that way, and it never really has. The real conversations start at the NFL Scouting Combine, which was last week in Minneapolis. People basically go to the bars around Indianapolis. They have a couple of cocktails. They reach out to some agents. I don't think they meet with players directly because that would be tampering, but they meet with their representation. They get a feel for what the market might be like. And you're seeing that a lot right now with Kirk Cousins. And when it comes to predictions for free agency, I think everything begins and ends for the Minnesota Vikings with the quarterback position, which is why I want to start with saying, I think Kirk's gone. And nothing is official yet. He could have a last second change of heart. I think we all remember the Anthony Barr situation where he agreed to a deal with the New York Jets. He spent an entire night sweating and couldn't sleep in a hotel room. He called it the worst day of his life, even though he was going to get $60 million from the Jets to be a pass rusher. He decided to stick with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings also bumped up their offer, so that probably helped him stay in Minnesota a little bit. But that's basically the best hope for the Vikings to sign Kirk Cousins right now. Because while nothing is official, there is a lot of smoke coming out of Atlanta right now. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio had a report earlier in the week that the Vikings, or excuse me, that Cousins was making moves to prepare for a move to Atlanta. So looking at schools, looking at other, you know, place to live. He also went as far as, you know, according to Florio, calling Kyle Pitts to see if he could get the number 8. Now, Kyle Pitts went on social media and said, "Hey, Kirk's never reached out to me. But if he did, that would basically confirm tampering and journalism 101. Why is this person lying to me?" There's your obvious answer. So we also have other things. Louis Riddick, who is an analyst for ESPN, also former NFL GM, he went ahead and he tweeted out a picture of the Kirko Chains gif of him dancing on the plane. He's also a former defensive back for the Atlanta Falcons. So a lot of people are like, is that a good news for the Falcons or is that good news for the Vikings? And the most important thing at all, there is a Kohl's 5 minutes away from the Atlanta Falcons training complex. So Kirk Cousins can, you know, get his practice in. You know, maybe he's got a nice little Tuesday outfit he wants to wear when he's got his day off and, you know, use some of that Kohl's cash. He can just do it lickety split. I looked it up. The nearest Kohl's next to TCO Performance Center is 10 minutes away. And then you got traffic, you know, the Twin Cities is kind of, you know, a mess, right? So, I mean, cut that time in half, you know, a little bit more your Tuesday off with the family. That's another great benefit for Kirk Cousins to sign with the Atlanta Falcons. In all seriousness, I think Kirk Cousins is leaving for a few reasons. One, I don't think the Vikings are moving off the position they've had for over the past year. They're willing to guarantee the first year of a deal. So when it comes to 2024, the Vikings are probably like, hey, if you want a full guarantee, if you want a whole bunch of money, we're able to do that. We have a lot of cap space in 2024. That's fine. The Vikings' problem is they want to keep flexibility, not only for this offseason in a way, and they already have it no matter what they decide to do with Cousins, but they want to keep it in 2025, 2026. You know, The Athletic's Alec Lewis printed an article where he said he heard from a representative, maybe an executive from the Vikings brass that kind of thought out loud, hey, it would be nice to have over $100 million in cap space even after you sign Justin Jefferson to an extension, after you sign Christian Darrisaw to an extension. Those two guys are building blocks for the future. If you have a young quarterback or maybe a quarterback that's not making a lot of money, you can build around them. You can go wild in free agency and you can beef this thing up to be a real Super Bowl contender, kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles did. They drafted Jalen Hurts when they had Carson Wentz on a big contract. A couple years later, they decide to trade Carson Wentz. They have Jalen Hurts on that rookie deal, and they go wild in free agency. They get Hassan Reddick. I believe they got another couple of players that I can't recall off the top of their head, but they were in the Super Bowl a couple years later after taking a step back. And oh, by the way, they got Devonta Smith in that following draft. So not really a bad idea to kind of take a step back at the quarterback position and get somebody else in there. But that is where the Vikings are at. They don't want to guarantee anything past 2024. Maybe they want to do a guarantee in 2025, but it's not a full guarantee. A lot of things were going on. And a lot of people too, I've mentioned this before, they kind of ran with Kirk Cousins' comments after the season, where he had that kind of Wu-Tang line, as Matthew Collar called it. It's not about the dollars, it's what the dollars represent. His next quote was, at this point, it's more about structure. And that would fall in line to where we've been over the past year. Kirk Cousins was willing to take a little less money a year ago to re-sign with the Vikings, but he apparently wanted guarantees, 2024, 25. I think he wanted it through the 2025 season. That's something that the Star Tribune's Andrew Kramer reported, but the Vikings were like, hey, we don't want to commit to you past 2024. We kind of want to move on and, you know, maybe have a contingency plan. And that's where this stalemate kind of went. Kirk decided to play out the final year of his deal. And here we are now where he's basically got the Vikings over a barrel and like, I'll leave. Believe me, I'll leave. You want to draft Christian Ponder? you want to sign Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold? I'll leave. I'll go to Atlanta and I'll win the Super Bowl. Maybe in his mind, the Super Bowl is getting as much money as possible and as much guarantees. But you look back in Vikings history, he has gotten whatever he has wanted from the Vikings in these negotiations. Signed with the Vikings in 2018, fully guaranteed deal. Signed with the Vikings in 2020, a two-year extension, fully guaranteed deal. He got an ironclad one-year extension in 2022. And he might say, what's different now? He was playing some of the best football of his career statistically in the first, I believe it was, first eight games of the season, because they were 4-4 after the Green Bay game. So he was on pace for another 4,000-yard season. He was on pace for another 30-touchdown season. In his mind, he'll also be in the third year with Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips, and that brain trust as far as an offense goes. And he probably feels like he, you know, with his Achilles, he's been telling everybody under the sun, I'm not a running quarterback. The Achilles doesn't affect me. Where it will affect him is basically the power on his throws. You use your lower half to kind of generate some of that velocity and, you know, ability to throw the ball downfield. That's where kind of everybody is kind of leery right now. It's not about necessarily, you know, running for 20 yards downfield. It's, hey, can you get the ball downfield? If you move around in the pocket, you know, there's a lot of quick twitch moves down there. If you step up in the pocket, is your Achilles going to snap again? Remember, Kirk Cousins didn't snap on like some athletic heroic running play. He just did it dropping back on a snap and it went. And when you're in your mid-30s, you're more prone to that type of injury. So as he gets 37, 38, you know, is he going to be the same thing? And he can talk about, you know, the outliers like Peyton Manning. He had a major neck injury and he still played into his 40s, I believe. Tom Brady was 45 when he retired. He didn't have a major injury, but he took care of himself. And I think Kirk Cousins does that. We saw that in the quarterback documentary where he works with a body doctor, getting all stretched out during the week. I think those things kind of add up and they help Kirk build up the value in his mind. But the other thing that's been kind of surfacing recently is that Kirk Cousins wants to be appreciated. Again, look at that quote again. It's not about the dollars. It's what they represent. In his mind, if the Vikings make that additional commitment, even at a lower price, that's respect. That's saying you're our quarterback. We're not going to take anybody in the draft. We believe in Kirk Cousins. And it gets back to, you know, what the Vikings are saying. They believe Kirk Cousins can lead them to a Super Bowl and get the ultimate prize. That's what they've been saying publicly. And I think in the case of Kevin O'Connell, he definitely believes that. I believe that in the other coaches too, like Kyle Shanahan has had this long love affair with Kirk Cousins. And, you know, it's never been quenched, even though they have Brock Purdy, who's on a super cheap contract and is a pretty damn good quarterback. There's still some people like, well, maybe they'll call the Vikings and maybe they'll get Kirk Cousins or whatever. I doubt it'll happen, but it's something to consider. But you go back with Kirk Cousins, and it's just been a quest about respect. In quarterback, he was talking about draft day, and he got drafted by the Washington, now as they're known, Commanders. And he said, hey, like, it was a great day to get drafted, but I was a little ticked off because I was taken by Washington. They took Robert Griffin III, second overall. Like, what am I doing here? Why are they drafting me? And it just kind of followed him throughout his career. He never got that long-term deal from Washington. Jay Gruden kind of had a grudge with him, thought he could do better. He wound up getting fired. Kirk leaves. He's appreciated by the Vikings. He's getting the red carpet rollout because they believe he can take that 2017 core with that rock-solid defense with Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, you know, Dalvin Cook in the backfield. They believe that he could be the final piece. They have a wet fart season in 2018. They make the playoffs. Kyle Rudolph pushes off in the end zone. The Vikings go to the divisional round and get smashed. And since then, you know, you had a 13-win season in 2022, but how much of that was his own personal vendetta that the whole team had against Mike Zimmer, believing that he was the big mean guy that held them back and made them practice way too hard and all that stuff. Like, it just seems like there's always been this kind of I'll show you mentality with Kirk Cousins. And now there's the contract situation where they're saying, hey, you know, we like you. We think you can be a great asset for us, but we don't want to commit to you two or three years down the road. And that might piss him off. Like, the whole Florio report was based off a conversation with his wife, Julie Cousins. And I believe Florio's wife had the conversation with Cousins' wife. And he felt like the vibe was kind of like, what's taking so long? Like, if you want us as much as, you know, you say you do, why don't you just open up the wallet and sign us? And from her perspective as a football wife, I'm sure it is frustrating. Like, she probably wants to know, hey, are we going to be in Minnesota? Are we going back to Atlanta? She doesn't really have control in the matter. And I think maybe in Kirk Cousins' mind too, it's like, hey, I have to plan for my family. Like, maybe that's why he's looking at Atlanta. And obviously too, I mean, so when I first heard about the report, I was like, hey, that's a leak from the Cousins camp. And technically it is, because it's from his wife, right? But at the same time, it's not a coincidence that somebody got a hold of that information. Like, kind of like, hey, why is this taking so long? Why, you know? So when you look at what Cousins is deciding between, you have the Falcons and you have the Vikings. And I think the Falcons are more prepared to win than the Vikings are at this moment. As we sit here on March 8th, 2024, I think the Falcons with Kirk Cousins are a better team than the Vikings with Kirk Cousins. And I say that because the 2022 draft class went ahead and messed everything up. Lewis Seen, Andrew Booth, Ed Ingram, Brian Asamoah, Caleb Evans, Asese Atomowo, Ty Chandler, Vidarian Lowe, Jalen Naylor, and Nick Muse. When you look at that list, there's maybe three hits. You got Ingram, who is the starting right guard, and an average right guard, maybe a little below average, but I mean, he did a lot better in his second season than the first season. Caleb Evans was in a starting role for the Vikings last year. Kind of looked like he got stretched a little too thin at the end of the season. And, you know, his tackling ability is a bit of a concern, especially as you move forward here. He's got to improve on that. And then you have Ty Chandler, who we'll talk about a little bit later. Alec Lewis is saying, hey, he will be featured prominently in 2024. I don't know about that. And we'll talk about the running back position a little bit more in depth later. But if you have a few more starters, especially in those first four picks, where, remember, the Vikings drafted, I think, 12th in that draft. And then they traded down, I think it was to 32 with the Detroit Lions, 20 picks. Lions get Jameson Williams, who's been okay. It looks like he's starting to get it. But I mean, he's not Randy Moss. Not yet, anyway. We'll see what happened. He was coming off that torn ACL. It was a bit of a buildup for him. We'll see how that turns out. But you also have a player like Kyle Hamilton, who looks like an absolute stud with the Baltimore Ravens. And you take Lewis Seen, who can't get on the field, despite the fact Brian Flores likes to use 3-4 safeties at a time in his defense. Bit of a red flag. But I mean, even if some of those other players pan out, and maybe at a higher level, maybe Ed Ingram is just a rock star guard from day one, and you go, we got a guard out of this. Or Lewis Seen, he's able to get to the starting lineup. Hey, Lewis Seen looks like a star. Look at that athleticism. He's quick. He's fast. You could see all the things that the Vikings saw in Seen. It's just a matter of consistency. It's a matter of tackling. It's a matter of learning his assignment, because from what we've heard, Seen can't really grasp the playbook. And he also had that big injury in London. I guess I should mention that, you know, with a broken leg. It seems like he has his athleticism back after that injury. But again, it's more of a between the ears thing than it is a actual physical ability thing with Lewis Seen. So you get a couple more starters there. You look around and you go, man, there's a little bit more here. But when you look at the Falcons, they've built one hell of an infrastructure. They have Drake London, who's one of the best young receivers in the league. Kyle Pitts, who was criminally underused by Arthur Smith last year. And, you know, does he take a step forward when he's got a legitimate quarterback throwing him the ball? And then you also have Bijan Robinson, who, again, Arthur Smith wanted to use Tyler Algier more than Bijan Robinson last year. So, I mean, when you look at all that, it makes sense that the Vikings would go ahead, or it would make sense that Kirk would look at the Falcons, especially if they're offering him more money and going like, hey, I really like it there. Plus two, you know, you have a great offensive line. You have a solid defense in Atlanta. Zach Robinson was hired as the offensive coordinator. Raheem Morris was in Washington the same time as Kirk Cousins, I believe. And they'll probably run a scheme similar to what Cousins has run compared to Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So when you look at the Falcons compared to the Vikings are just sitting here running on vibes. Basically, like, hey, Kevin O'Connell really likes you and he thinks you can do good things. And remember when he went to Rosemount High School and you walked in and everybody started cheering and doing the school chant? And remember that Gallerhorn? Like, you stood up there and you and your kid, you were Kirko Chains blowing the Gallerhorn, and 66,000 people were talking about you. Like, some people online have been like, well, why would Kirk stay when everybody's been disrespecting him and everything? That is bullshit. I don't mean to single out a single person on Twitter or X, if you would call it. But I mean, it's just like the whole idea that Kirk Cousins has been wrong during his time in Minnesota. Yeah, there were some bumps in the road. I mean, the whole Mike Zimmer thing towards the end, that got to be ridiculous. There were some offensive coordinator issues. There were a little couple of things. Mike Zimmer was clearly a guy with a shelf life when you think about it. With Cousins, you know, the Vikings have tried to do everything right by Kirk. And at this moment, they're saying, hey, you're 36 coming off a torn Achilles. We can't give you this long-term ironclad deal. And Kirk's balking at it, thinking it's a sign of disrespect. I don't know. And we're not in Kirk Cousins' brain. We should mention that. Again, nothing is official between the Falcons and the Vikings. But, you know, a guy like Kirk Cousins, when you're looking at the two options, why wouldn't he go? So that's kind of where my prediction is based off of. I think Kirk Cousins will leave. I think he'll get a fully guaranteed deal. Will it be 2 years? Will it be 3 years? I don't know. At this point, if he, you know, reveals he was just playing the Falcons like he was playing the Jets in the 2018 free agency, I'll be a little surprised, but it'll be because he got every penny he could out of the Minnesota Vikings. And if he leaves, that opens a whole nother chapter of free agency because the Vikings will need to find a stopgap. I saw over at The Athletic this week, they predicted that Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson would be the quarterbacks of the Vikings. And that obviously draws a cheers of, this is what you had to Kirk Cousins leaves. And now you're going to play with Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins and Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. Okay. First of all, they're not the only two options on the market. There are a bunch of other options. You could get a guy like Gardner Minshew. You get a guy like Jacoby Brissett. You could pair them with your favorite quarterback in the draft. Maybe you have JJ McCarthy. Maybe you have Drake May. Maybe you have Jaden Daniels. Maybe you have Michael Penix, who is spelled wrong on my computer due to autocorrect. Type it in yourself. You'll know what I'm smiling about. Whoever the Vikings sign, if Kirk leaves, remember this, and this is going to shock some of the longtime listeners of the Homer Horn and the Viking Age podcast, but I'm going to go with a wrestling reference. Cody Rhodes fought Roman Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania last year. He wound up losing, and it was the angriest I've ever been with a wrestling result ever. Like, Chris went full nerd on that, just kind of like, what are you doing? Are you waiting for The Rock? Are you, what is happening? And Roman Reigns at the press conference afterward, and yes, for those of you who don't watch wrestling, they have press conferences now, which is kind of funny, but they're also very entertaining at times. But he mentioned something that this is not fast food. This is the good stuff. This is filet mignon. You have to pay attention for longer than 30 seconds to understand what we're doing here because the payoff's going to be worth it. Now, in wrestling terms, Cody Rhodes is going to fight Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And if he wins the belt there, the payoff will be so big because they built him up. They've developed it, the story, and you know, the payoff will be that much sweeter. I look at this the same way with the Vikings quarterback situation. You know, if the Vikings go ahead and let's just say Sam Darnold for shits and gigs or like something more pleasing. Let's say if they sign Gardner Minshew, he is not guaranteed to be the starter in 2024, 2025, 2026, whatever. He might get a shot in 2024, but you draft that rookie. Let's say it's JJ McCarthy. Let's say the Vikings trade up for Drake May and he is a stud from day one, kind of the Josh Allen thing, right? Gets to Buffalo, beats out everyone. He's the starter from day one. You know, I mean, then you have a long-term solution. You have a guy that the Vikings can develop. Hopefully he reaches that ceiling and you forget that the guy they signed in free agency is on the team. They're not going to go out and try and make some major splash. I've seen Baker Mayfield's name tossed out there a little bit. I kind of think you're getting Kirk Cousins light with Baker Mayfield where, you know, I mean, Baker, yeah, you look good with the Bucs, but I don't know. I mean, do you want to pay that guy $28 million or do you want to get a stopgap and try and land that franchise quarterback that you haven't had since Fran Tarkington? Or even if you're my age, maybe you consider Dante Culpepper to be in that tier before he blew his knee out. You know, those are things to consider. So, I mean, the Chicago Bears signed Andy Dalton a couple years ago and had that QB1 graphic. And then they turned around and drafted Justin Fields in the first round of the draft. You have to be patient with this and see how the entire thing plays out. Like if they bring back Kirk Cousins, okay, what are they doing to manage the cap? Are they spreading stuff down the road? Are they, you know, getting things tucked away in that regard? What is their plan here? Because we don't know what their plan is. They're in year three, and it's kind of like, get every drop we can out of this roster. Well, I think the juice has been squeezed out of this orange. So what are they going to do? Is Kirk Cousins part of that future on a deal that is beefed up to his liking? Or will the Vikings say, hey, thanks to the memories, you know, it's pretty funny when you put that chain on. We got to think about the future here and we got to beef up this roster to be a real Super Bowl contender. That is storyline number one of free agency. And that's why I've talked about it for the past 30 minutes to open the show. By the way, if you're just joining us, thank you. This is the Viking Age podcast. My name is Chris Shad. You can follow me on social media, wherever, at The Real Chris Shad. We're talking Vikings free agency predictions. Gonna go, I don't know, at this rate, it might be 45 minutes to an hour. But if you got any questions, feel free to drop them in the comments. I'll try and answer them here before I log off. But we're going through my bold predictions for free agency. I got an article at the Viking Age that's got 6 of them. You can click on the link below and I don't know, you could trash the hell out of it if you want, but give it a read. Check it out if you want to. It's speculation season. It's all in good fun. And we're going to move on and we're going to talk about the Vikings' other top free agent, which is Danielle Hunter. This was one of the questions we got when I put out the feeler on Twitter earlier this week. It was from Fierce Patriot. He asked, suppose Kirko is long gone. We should be able to extend Justin Jefferson's contract, but why do I keep hearing that Hunter might be gone? Can they stretch the cap by a longer term? So I think what he's asking here is, why do people think Danielle Hunter is a goner? And if people want to talk about guys that are disrespected, kind of like we're getting the vibe with Cousins, I think Danielle Hunter has a case. Hunter signed a 5-year, $72 million contract in 2018. And by like total Minnesotan, measures, well, $72 million, what's he complaining about? Why doesn't he go out and play his contract? You know, the price of edge rushers has gotten crazy since he signed that deal. 9 digits, $100 million, right? A lot of edge rushers getting paid, a lot of edge rushers with lesser production, a lot of edge rushers that are older. Like your Von Miller, who had to restructure his contract to stay with the Bills this week. Most of the players on the Vikings that outperformed his deal like Hunter did got their contracts torn up, or they got extensions, maybe a little extra more money. Something was done to make that player happy. You look at Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen signed, I can't remember the exact terms, but it was a very modest contract when he first had his first good season in 2016. And then he exploded 2017, 2018. And the Vikings said, okay, you've obviously, like, this is a bad contract. We're going to rip it up. We're going to give you this shiny new contract. And Adam Thielen was like, cool, whatever. More money. That's great. That's awesome. Anthony Barr, another player who got rewarded for his tenure with the Vikings. He goes, has that Jets thing. And, you know, decides to come back. The Vikings are like, well, you know, for your loyalty, we're going to bump up our offer a little bit just to make sure, you know, you get something here because this is what you wanted. Didn't have to do it because it sounded like Anthony Barr crawled back to come back to the Vikings. But that's what happened. Dalvin Cook gets an extension. You know, he's seeing all these guys get rewarded for what they're doing on the field. And Danielle Hunter is kind of saying, hey, can I get an extra couple years? Can I get some more money? And the Vikings did very short-term solutions to kind of figure that out. But a lot of the things are going on right now. So as we approach free agency, it's been reported the Vikings have made an effort to re-sign Hunter, but it's been on hold while they figure out the quarterback situation. And that's for good reason, because they got to figure out, hey, are we going to have $40, $50 million fully guaranteed on the books for Kirk Cousins? Because if we do, we need to kind of change course and figure out how we're going to do that. And that's where Fierce Patriot's question comes in. Can they stretch things out to kind of soften the blow and make sure it comes back? This is what I think the Vikings would do in this case. They have $28.5 million in dead salary cap, whether Kirk Cousins plays for them or not in 2024. Even if he signs an extension, and I've been wrong on this before, it's a little confusing. That $28.5 million cannot be baked into Kirk Cousins' new deal. So you still have that dead cap money. I mean, it might be paid if he signs a 3-year deal, it'd be in like 2027, 2028 or something. I can't do math on the fly, but you still have to pay that. I think they would, in a Danielle Hunter type deal, They would take his signing bonus, which Hunter would get up front no matter what, and put a portion of that way into the future. So if they wanted to, you know, they could lower his, they could make his cap hit pretty minuscule for 2024 and still be able to add around him and keep Cousins and all that stuff. But they would eventually have to pay the money in like a year, like 2026, 2027, like something like that would have to pay. So is that worth it to keep Danielle Hunter, who's 30 years old, had a couple of serious injuries just a few years ago, but the last 2 years, Hunter has been fine. He had 16 sacks under Brian Flores. That was a career high. Well, he was a 16 and a half. And then the year before that, he had 10 and a half sacks under Ed Donatell, where he had no clue what he was doing because Ed Donatell was using him as a coverage linebacker instead of an edge rusher. And I don't know.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Oh, does he wind up with 16 sacks last year? Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator. You have to think about these things. And, you know, from a Viking standpoint, they should want to keep a player like Danielle Hunter because edge rushers are tough to find. Go back to 2008. We'll use this as an example. Path to the draft. Everybody was excited about Florida's Derek Harvey. He was the top edge rusher. Vikings needed an edge rusher. I think there might have been a couple of edge guys ahead of Harvey, but that was the guy that was being mocked to the Vikings. The Vikings said, no, we're just going to trade our first and a whole bunch of other picks to get Jared Allen. Worked out pretty well because Derek Harvey was a bust. And Jared Allen should be in the Hall of Fame someday because he's one of the greatest edge rushers of all time. You want to go back further. Look at what the Vikings did with Chris Dolman. He had 27 sacks in his age 31 and 32 seasons, which I believe were 92 and 93. Because I have it in the notes. Vikings traded Dolman in 1994 for a first rounder and either a second or a third rounder. And those picks wound up to be David Palmer, great punt returner, fun little running back out of Alabama. He's one of the players that would be interesting to see in today's NFL. He's a good receiver too. And kind of quick. I don't know. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler, but he's more built for today's NFL than he was like 1990s meat and potatoes, run the ball between the tackles NFL. And they go and they get a defensive end out of Clemson the following year with the first round pick named Derek Alexander. Alexander turned out to be a bust. And, you know, you have the late 90s Vikings where they're kind of ascending. They had Randy Moss in 1998. They go 15-1, but their pass rush was one of the worst in the NFL. They had John Randall and pretty much nobody else. John Randall gets hurt in that Arizona game. Chris Chandler carves up the Vikings defense in the NFC Championship game. And we all know what happened there. Damn, right? Meanwhile, Chris Dolman, he's okay with Atlanta for a couple of years, getting a little long in the tooth, signs a 3-year deal with the 49ers, And then he racks up 38 sacks in three seasons between age 35 and age 37. And then even more comically, the Vikings bring him back in 1999 for his final season, and he has eight sacks. So Vikings could have used a player like Chris Dolman back then. And it could have been, that was about the advent of the salary cap. So maybe there was some issues there that I don't really know about because I'm not old enough to have been a Vikings fan when that happened. But, you know, Hunter is younger. Yeah, he's had a few more major injuries, but I don't feel like he's going to fall off a cliff. So if he's willing to take, let's call it a 3-year deal or something, that's probably what the Vikings are aiming for. The problem is Hunter's probably looking for the biggest deal possible on the market because he got screwed with his last contract. A lot of that's his fault. A lot of that's his agent's fault, but he's going to want to get the bag. And the Vikings, again, they should have a case to give it to him. They're edge rushers on the roster right now. DJ Wanham is a free agent. He's recovering from a torn quad. Marcus Davenport, his contract's going to expire. I know a lot of people don't like Marcus Davenport, but exploring that is a smart move because if you can get him back at $5 million, you're not counting on him to be Danielle Hunter or Za'Darius Smith. You're counting on him to be a rotational guy, a guy that can come in. You know, if you get 5, 6, 7 sacks from him, that's great. I know he only had a half sack the year before then. But before he got hurt, he had 2 sacks, I believe, in 3 games before he aggravated his ankle injury. So, and I know there's a lot of off the field stuff. Like, people didn't like that interview he had with Darren Wolfson at the beginning of the year when he was asked, like, what's up with your ankle? And he did the whole thing. And then, you know, at the end of the year, they said, oh, yeah, well, we think he can come back, but he just doesn't want to. You know, people don't make stuff like that up. Like, as reporters. So there had to have been something to it. But I also wonder, you know, is it a game of telephone where one guy hears one thing and then it gets progressively worse? Kind of like the Falcons situation with Kirk Cousins, right? There's one truth and then it gets mangled to the point where, you know, you start talking about apples and by the end of the telephone game, you hear oranges. Like, it's kind of weird. So I mean, the Vikings need to add an edge rusher. You got Patrick Jones, the third. Got to get the third in there. And then you also have Andre Carter, the second, who the Vikings spent a lot of money on as a UDFA last year. He's more of a project. Projected first round pick at one point coming out of Army. Fell behind. A lot of people kind of theorized that he struggled last year because the Army doesn't have the same training as the NFL would. So, I mean, you're guessing there. Like, you're hoping that Andre Carter gets it in year two, but there's no guarantees there, obviously. The Vikings need to sign somebody at edge rusher. So do you go into the draft? Do you take a guy like Dallas Turner, who ran a absurd 4.4 in the 40-yard dash? Do you take Jared Verse out of Florida State? You know, those are two of the most popular picks for the Vikings at number 11. But if you're trading up for a quarterback, you know, are you, like, where are the rest of your picks? Are you using your second round pick to go up and get said quarterback? Are you accumulating draft capital? Like, there's a whole bunch of factors there. So with Danielle Hunter wanting the bag, you know, you have a lot of teams that are going to be after him. Chicago has a lot of cap space. You know, Jacksonville has been connected with him as late, and they don't have as many holes to fill as the Vikings, so they could spend a little more there. And there are probably a lot of mystery teams out there that we don't know about that want to bolster their pass rush. When I look at everything, I don't think the Vikings are to win this battle. Does signing Danielle Hunter over an unknown make more sense? I think it does in this case. But, you know, even if they stretch the contract and they kick money down the road and everything else, Danielle Hunter is not going to be stupid this time around. He's going to see what happened with his last 5-year deal and go, maybe I do want a 3-year contract where I get a shitload of money up front, a lot of guarantees, and the Kirk Cousins strategy, right? Get the money and run, play football. And you know what? If they want to eat a whole bunch of dead cap at the end of the contract, that's their loss. And a team like the Bears can do that because, I mean, they can just spend like drunken sailors because they have 2 top 10 draft picks and they have a lot of cap space. And that's freaking terrifying for Vikings. So I don't think Hunter stays. I don't mean to be negative with all these predictions, but I just don't think that the numbers add up. And I don't think the Vikings will have the ammo to keep him in Minnesota. So there's prediction number 2. Once again, if you're just joining us, my name is Chris Shad. You can follow me at The Real Chris Shad, as you see at the bottom of your screen there. We were planning on doing a mailbag episode, but we didn't get any questions for this episode. So if you got one, feel free to drop them in the comments. Also, make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all the cool YouTube stuff. That way you never miss a cool episode. We can grow this community and everything else. We're at 948 subscribers right now. Would be cool if we got them to 1,000 by, say, I don't know, maybe the draft might be a pipe dream, but maybe before next season, maybe we will have 1,000 subscribers, get some people talking, get some people on the show. You know, I mean, usually we have a guest, but just schedule demands kind of got a little crazy this week, and we're just kind of doing it solo here. Our third prediction, we got two more to go. It actually stems from one of the few questions we got from Patrice in Gulf Shores, who asks, is there somebody on the team that will step up for Madison, or is there somebody in the draft or free agency we should get? The running back thing goes in a few layers. The Vikings signed Alexander Madison a year ago to get younger and cheaper at the position, or younger and more efficient. So young, cheap, efficient. I think those are the three things the Vikings are looking for in their running back. Dalvin Cook was going to get $14 million if they didn't release him. That wasn't the Vikings' jam. They're like, hey, you know, you're tailing off. Your efficiency numbers are down. We're going to go in a different direction. And to their credit, Dalvin Cook didn't look like the same player with the Jets and Ravens last year. Alexander Madison also had the same success rate as Cook back in 2022. And that's defined as getting 60% of yards on first down, 80% of yards on second down, and 100% on third and fourth down. So the Vikings saw that and they're like, hey, we'll give you a 2-year contract, lots of guarantees, money, money, money. You get a chance as a starting running back. And Alexander Madison jumped at it. It didn't work. I believe he had 180 carries last year and he didn't have a touchdown. He was the first running back since Melvin Gordon his rookie year, I believe that was 2012, to not have a touchdown with that many carries on the ground. Now he had some receiving touchdowns, but no rushing touch. I think there's only been 13 players since the year 2000 as well, or it might've been since the merger, that have not scored a rushing touchdown with that many carries. So it was a rough go. So now Alexander Madison is released. As far as players on the roster go, you got to turn to Ty Chandler. The Athletic's Alec Lewis said that Chandler would be featured prominently in 2024, but there are some things he needs to work on before we can start with Ty Chandler running back one season. Pass protection was an issue that got him benched in several games. And part of the reason why the Vikings stuck with Alexander Madison so long. There were also moments where he didn't seem to know what direction the play was going. That's not great. And then you also have ball security. I don't have his exact fumble numbers, but he's got to work a little bit on that. Outside of that, he's got 4.3 speed. He had a 100-yard game against the Bengals. Looked to be improved between the tackles a little bit. I think he's the type of running back the Vikings want at that position. But I don't think he can be a workhorse, a guy that you're giving 15 or 20 carries a game and just saying, hey, anchor the ground game, get some effectiveness and all that stuff. I think the Vikings go ahead and they sign a compliment in free agency. Also, give me a second here. When you talk for 45 minutes straight, you get a little parched. So my apologies there. I think Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry are out of the picture. Those guys are workhorse franchise running backs, which is kind of an oxymoron these days with the way front offices think. But if you sign those guys, you are going to put them in that feature role. I don't think the Vikings want to block Chandler in that much, where Chandler could be a compliment to those guys. I would be shocked if they broke the bank on a running back because it would just kind of go against on their whole ethos as a front office so far. You might have to look a little bit further down the ladder. Does a guy like Tony Pollard make sense? A guy who was pretty good in a complimentary role in Dallas, but wasn't great as the starter. Austin Eckler, he's a guy that can get it done on the ground, although his efficiency has kind of waned. But maybe use him in passing situations as a pass protector and a guy that can get more than 3 yards on a screen. Maybe 3 yards is generous with a Vikings screen game over the first 2 years of Kevin O'Connell. That's a possibility. DeAndre Swift had one of the highest success rates for running backs in the league last year. He's a free agent. Might have to spend $6 million on him, but he's another guy that you should be considering here. And then you have like your bargain bin, right? You got Cam Akers, he's ruptured both Achilles. That's not good. J.K. Dobbins, lots of injuries. I believe his last one was a ruptured Achilles. Again, not great. Maybe you get AJ Dillon from the Packers, a guy who's a bruiser. Maybe that's a guy that you sign. But when I look at their options, you know, it makes more sense for the Vikings to go into the draft. This year's draft class doesn't have a Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs, who the Vikings were linked to the latter, by the way, last year with the first round pick. But, you know, you got Tennessee's Jalen Wright, good yards after contact and a good amount of speed. Florida State's Trey Benson, another one of those guys, kind of rough around the edges. You kind of got to adjust for him. And USC's Marshawn Lloyd, solid speed, good yards after contact. You know, the problem with that is those guys will require a third or fourth round pick. The Vikings don't have a third round pick after the TJ Hockenson trade. So it might be out of the question as far as getting one of those guys. I think the Vikings will wait until later in the draft and get a guy they like. And a guy that I like and know pretty well is South Dakota State's Isaiah Davis. He ran a 4.57 at the combine, which you look at that and you go, well, that's not that fast. I think that's a massive win for him. There were some moments up in the press box while watching some SDSU games where I said he's gone and he got caught from behind. But his specialty is as a power yards after contact type running back. The Vikings struggled with that a year ago. Neither Madison or Chandler got above 3 yards above contact. Isaiah Davis had 3.97 yards above contact per carry last year at South Dakota State. And I know some people will be like, well, that's FCS. That doesn't matter. Those guys don't matter. There's a lot of talent at the FCS level. There are guys who were recruited at D1 schools and they transferred to get more playing time. That's been more prominent with the transfer portal. There are also guys like Cam Ward, who started in, or even better example, Jared Verse, one of the top picks in this year's draft. He started at UAlbany. His freshman season, 2020, got canceled because of COVID, builds a gym, gets bigger and stronger during the pandemic, comes back, dominates at UAlbany, transfers to Florida State. Now he's one of the best picks in the draft. Cam Ward, guy I was talking about a little bit ago, he started at Incarnate Word, transferred to Washington State, now transfers to Miami. He's one of the top quarterbacks in next year's draft, albeit a little bit older, but he's another guy that you can look to there as a success story. You also have guys like Tucker Kraft, who was a second round pick by the Packers, but he came on at the end of the year. Dallas Goedert, obviously, everybody knows about him. He's the big South Dakota State guy, tight end for the Eagles. It's not as plentiful as like SEC, you know, every Saturday CBS type of pool, but there are good players there. Even like South Dakota State, you know, offensive lineman Mason McCormick, like a type of lineman like him, big, nasty, physical. Brian Baldinger was pointing him out. That's a guy I would love to see on the Vikings replace Dalton Reisner. Just somebody that doesn't take shit and just lights people up. That would be a good move. Garrett Greenfield had the highest vertical jump of any offensive lineman in the history of the combine, I believe, last week. Like that's another player at tackle. Maybe not something the Vikings would take because they have Christian Darrisaw or Brian O'Neill. But I mean, all three of those guys had great performances at the combine. So when I look at the running back position, if the Vikings want to take Isaiah Davis sixth, seventh round, fifth might be a little too rich for my blood, but those are the guys the Vikings are going to be looking for. You know, they took Dwayne McBride in the seventh round last year, said they had a starter grade on him. He didn't pan out, but he's another player that you could go ahead and you could look at. Like I said, I think they roll with Chandler in that lead role, so to speak, but I think they sign a guy and they might do all three things, like Ty Chandler on the roster, compliment in free agency, draft a guy late in the draft, because the guys they didn't have didn't work last year and they got to find a solution. You know, maybe it's just stuff a whole bunch of fish in a barrel and see what you come out with. But the running back position is going to be something. And I think the Vikings will try to address it at least when it comes to free agency. Now, the last prediction I have, and this is just going to roll a bunch of things into one. I think this is going to be a defensive palooza for the Vikings. Alec Lewis, again, mentioned that the Vikings could have as many as 8 defensive starters, new defensive starters next season. Sounds like Harrison Smith isn't thinking about retiring, but if he goes on the open market because he's not willing to take a pay cut, you know, the safety market has been flooded. You got I believe Jordan Poyer was released. I believe Jamal Adams was released. I believe Justin Simmons was released by the Broncos. There are some good safeties in this class, and they're younger and faster than Harrison Smith. So, I mean, if it's between that and staying with the Vikings, Smith might want to stay here. He's rooted here. He loves being a Viking. He's talked a little bit about wanting to spend his whole career with one team. We'll just see how that goes. I think it's either retirement or Vikings for Harrison Smith. I'd be a little surprised if he goes somewhere else. We already talked about Danielle Hunter. You might lose Jordan Hicks in free agency. He's a guy that's a little long in the tooth. He had that nasty compartment syndrome in his shin last year. Not great. And then you have to do something about the defensive line. A lot of the guys were incognito. And I mean, if I told you, hey, name a Vikings defensive starter that's not Harrison Phillips, you might have some problems because none of them really stood out. Jonathan Bullard was second on the team in snaps among defensive interior guys. He did not have a good year. I think he was second worst on the team in overall PFF grade. Dean Lowry, he was basically invisible. Kyrus Tonga had the highest PFF grade of any interior defensive lineman, but it wound up being, we got a comment. Skull Vikings, brother. Hell yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I stopped mid-thought just to point that out, but I saw the comments and I'm like, let's do that. You know, where was I? Yeah, Kyrus Tonga, highest on the team, but doesn't really, you know, move the needle. They haven't had an impact defensive interior guy since Linval Joseph was around. You know, you think about Kevin and Pat Williams, they were impact players in the middle. Like there was always someone that kind of moved the needle a little bit, even like John Randall, undersized guy, but an elite pass rusher, Hall of Famer, John Randall. So the Vikings need a guy like that, especially in this defense where, you know, they do not generate pressure on the interior unless they're like blitzing Ivan Pace or sending a corner or safety or whatever. Like that's one of the biggest problems. So with interior pressure becoming more wanted in the NFL, I think they're going to go hard after Christian Wilkins. Didn't get the franchise tag from the Dolphins. He was a former first round pick by Brian Flores in Miami. He's athletic. He's disruptive in the interior. I believe he had 60... around 70 pressures last year for the Dolphins, regular season and playoffs. Good player, super athletic. He's the kind of guy the Vikings need on that interior defense. And you look around the league, you know, you have guys like Chris Jones, the top player in free agency ahead of Kirk Cousins, who is a quarterback. Just think of the positional value there. You're saying this guy is more valuable than a quarterback. That's pretty impressive and a guy that you have to consider. Justin Madubuike, he was a popular target for Vikings fans at the beginning of free agency. He got a franchise tag from the Ravens, a team who usually lets guys walk when they need to get paid and they don't think too highly of them. You know, what was the guy from Georgia? They had some guy, Darnell McPhee, I think his name was, or maybe I'm just making up Madden like draft names here. But I mean, when they let a guy go, they usually don't find a lot of success somewhere else unless their name's like Za'Darius Smith. So that's kind of a, whoa, they think highly of this dude that they gave him the franchise tag type of deal. You also have needs in the secondary. Byron Murphy Jr. was their big signing at corner last year. Solid player. I think he's good. I think he's a starter, but he does better in the slot than he does on the outside. So finding another outside corner, preferably one that can make an impact, should also be in consideration for the Vikings. A guy that the Vikings have been linked to apparently is Lajarius Sneed, who got the franchise tag from the Chiefs. So not only do you have to give up a big contract to sign him, you also have to give up draft compensation. The rumor is they're seeking a second round pick. Do you need that to trade up for a quarterback? Is that something if Kirk Cousins comes back, are you more willing to part with that second pick? Because you'll just get an edge rusher in the first and you'll get Sneed in the second round. With your second round pick, I should say. I don't know. Like the Chiefs are going to hold out for the best deal possible there. There are other corners on the radar as well that the Vikings could look to. There are some options there. And then there's also linebacker, Fierce Patriot, who had the first question of the episode. He brought up Devin White's name. I don't think he's done a lot in his career. Like he's just a marginal player, but also marginal players in free agency. you know, at the linebacker position, that's kind of what the Vikings need, right? They just need somebody who's solid and is a decent run stuffer. I didn't look up Devin White's, run stop numbers before I jumped on here, but he's another guy that you can turn and look to and be like, hey, maybe he's a fit. They need somebody next to Ivan Pace. Ivan Pace is good. He might be more of a pass rush specialist than a run stopper. So you need to get some guys on defense and kind of beef that thing up. And instead of, you know, using a whole bunch of draft picks where you don't know it's going to pan out, you know, the Rick Spielman, what was it, 2020, and the Vikings had 16 draft picks or something. Instead of betting on a whole bunch of lottery tickets, you spend some of that cap space and you try and beef up the defense. So, and this is just, you know, I know I did 4 predictions here. I have 6 in the article, which is listed below in the description. Once again, if you're just joining us, you know, there are other things the Vikings are going to look for when free agency opens next week. A new kicker. They've been rumored to kind of been scouting that. They could use a guy. I mean, they could sign Dalton Risner if they wanted to, but they could also replace him with a different free agent guard. And I don't think people would be too upset with that. A third wide receiver may be needed if KJ Osborne leaves. Although that market is kind of high as far as price goes, and this is a pretty solid receiver class. So that's another thing you can look at. All in all, you know, this is an exciting time for Vikings fans. I don't think the Vikings have had this wild of a free agency since Kirk Cousins signed in 2018, which doesn't make a coincidence now that Kirk Cousins' future is up in the air. We're having all this speculation. We're pointing at all these guys to kind of make it better. I'm ready to have a resolution. Like, I'm kind of sick of the tea leaves. I'm sick of the GIFs or GIFs, however you want to pronounce it. I'm sick of Mike. I talked to Kirk Cousins' wife. I just want it to end. Whether Kirk's on the team or not, I want to see how the Vikings move forward. I want to see them become a Super Bowl contender. And I want things to go from there. So it will be fun, especially as we get into next week. But we're approaching an hour here, so I should probably shut it down. Before I do, make sure you check out thevikingage.com. Of course, the namesake of this podcast. Like I mentioned, we got my bowl predictions. Adam Patrick, the managing editor, he's my co-host every Monday, usually. He wrote some commentary on Kirk Cousins this morning that you should go check out. And we have a lot of analysis from a lot of talented writers over there, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, whether it's just yelling and screaming into the void. We got something for everybody over at the Viking Age, so you can check it out. Once again, my name is Chris Shad. You can follow me at The Real Chris Shad on Twitter for the audio audience. Chris Shad, it's a weird name. I got it back in the day. We were watching basketball with some friends, and Ahmad Rashad, who was the sideline reporter for NBA on NBC, he was on the screen, and somebody goes, Ahmad Chris Shad. And then Ahmad got dropped, and now I'm Chris Shad to a lot of people. So that's where that comes up. But in case you ever wondered, it is all one word. It's The Real, and then Chris Shad is C-R-I-S-H-A-D. So I tweet way too much on X, getting in fights about the Vikings in the wild. I do some stuff on TikTok, Instagram. Those are the big three for me, but I also do some stuff on Threads as well. You know what? I'm going to take one quick question here. Mac, thank you for the comments throughout the show here as I'm logging off, but I'll go with this before I log off. He says, honestly, I believe we will draft McCarthy, JJ McCarthy, of course, since the Vikings are so high on him. What's your take on that? So JJ McCarthy is interesting to me. The tools seem to be there. If you watch on his tape, you know, if you look at the highlights, there are some underthrows where guys like Roman Wilson made great plays to kind of bail him out. But there are also plays where, you know, I think he threw a 60-yard pass at the NFL scouting combine. Now, Kellen Mond did the same thing back in the day during his pro day, and everybody kind of started drooling over that. But you also see it during games where he's good on the run. He throws downfield. You know, I think a lot of NFL teams like his mentality. I think some teams think McCarthy's a little weird. I'm going to put the question back on the screen for the YouTube audience. I think some people think McCarthy's a little strange because he meditates before games, but a lot of players do a lot of weird shit before games. Like we mentioned on Monday, John Henderson was his name, defensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He did a dude slap him in the face. And if it wasn't hard enough, he'd like threatened his life before he slapped him hard enough to go out on the field. You know, football players are messed up people. Like you talk to them and they're, you know, some of them are pretty nice, but like deep down, especially on Sundays, like it's like an alter ego. It's like how a wrestler has like a gimmick, right? They have the character and then they have the actual human being behind it. Those are things you kind of look at. So you'd have to trade up for McCarthy. I don't know if the Viking, like this is a situation where I just trust the Vikings to make the right move. If they like JJ McCarthy enough and they think that he has franchise quarterback potential, I think that pull the trigger, like go do it. Take your swing. Like you're going to get fired either way, right? If you sit there and you go, well, Kirk's the best and he goes belly up. Well, hey, whatever. I would rather go down swinging, I guess. But when it comes to McCarthy, I see the tools. And I think some people online also just have said no because of how he was used at Michigan. Michigan had a very strong running game and they leaned on it. So does that mean, and I mean, Jim Harbaugh has come out and he has defended McCarthy steadily since the draft process began. Like, hey, it's not because I think he sucks or anything. I think it's because, you know, we have this great running game and we just use it. Like Kyle Shanahan in the 2020 play. So it would have been the 2019 season, that playoff, they ran the ball with Raheem nonstop because teams could not stop it. Like it's the same kind of mentality. And I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl kind of showed why, but I think a lot of teams look at JJ McCarthy and they like the package that he brings. So good question, Mac. I definitely appreciate it, but I got to log off. I've been talking for 65 minutes now and my voice is starting to go a little bit. So it's all that time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Adam Patrick will be joining me on Monday, so I won't have to do a solo diatribe. But my name is Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.